Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 29, May 13th, 2010. And man, have we had a lot of stuff going on these last few weeks.
Yes, sir.
It's been a little, as they say, discombobulated.
We've been a little absent.
Yeah, got a few changes going on. So here we are with almost mid-May. The year is screaming by. We're about halfway through 2010, and social is waiting for nobody. There's definitely a lot of changes going on there, and it seems like we're still trying to catch up with South by Southwest excerpts. Anyway, I'm Dave Barger.
I'm Ansley Phones.
And we're going to talk today about some of the flooding type stuff that's going on here that's, you may have caught with the headlines back the very first weekend in May. And then a lot of Facebook stuff there. So with the flooding, we're over here in Memphis, and we had our own troubles with the floods. Not as widespread as Nashville. And it's very interesting, kind of nationwide, how Tennessee really didn't get a lot of coverage on, from a disaster standpoint, and reaching out to the hearts and whatnot of America to get their help and their focus here into Tennessee. And then within Tennessee, it seems like there's this I don't know what you want to call it. A lot of attention is being focused on Nashville, but not so much in Memphis. But really, Memphis is we have our problems here, not as widespread.
Especially the suburbs got hit very hard. The tornado sirens were on all over the city, but it was really the rain that really got the people in Millington.
Yes. Yeah, Millington and Fraser, and some of those areas a little bit north of Memphis. There's a lot of people that commute from there into Memphis. And I was actually out of town at this conference called SobCon up in Chicago while you guys were getting pummeled down here with all this rain. So some people say, oh, lucky you're out of town. And, I didn't feel so lucky because my family was still down here, and I was a little worried. Not so much about the rains because, we kind of live on a little elevated patch of land, but just the storms and the trees and whatnot potentially falling on the house. So we're trying to figure out, hey, what's going on in Memphis right now to help folks out? And we were able to catch up with a couple of people last night at an event that we're going to talk about as well, which was the Memphis Connect anniversary party, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it was the first anniversary of memphisconnect.com, which launched right at about a year ago. And that web real estate has become such a driving force in connecting people, not only within Memphis, but then also getting the attention of people outside of Memphis to take a look at Memphis and see all the diversity and all the different attitudes and whatnot from people that are right here in Memphis. So it was a fantastic event with some really good folks there last night. And of course, MemphisConnect.com is a project of the Leadership Academy. And so there, there was Nancy Coffey and Elizabeth Lamons, who was actually, she was our guest back on here on the Social Expedition, show number 4.
Way before my time.
back in November. And she was also a guest speaker at one of the breakfasts back then as well, the latter part of 2009. So great stuff been going on there. She's been a speaker with some other folks who run similar city-type blogs from Birmingham and Nashville here at Bar Camp. The Leadership Academy has also been a sponsor of a blog house at a couple of the Launch Memphis events here recently. So it was a great event, and I was able to catch up with Deidre Oglesby and Aisling Maki, both of Memphis Loves Kids. I was able to get them, and we have a short interview here we want to insert into this about what they're doing right now with that organization to help out the folks here in Millington, the flood victims here, right here in Shelby County. So let's go over to that.
Well, I've had the great pleasure of being able to catch up with Deidre Oglesby, who is, what's your title?
President of Memphis Loves Kids.
Memphis Loves Kids. And so right now, we're talking about what's going on with people who have suffered from the flooding. And and we're also at this event here, this anniversary of Memphis Connect, but there's a lot of great people here, a lot of great people who want to get involved and help things, help people out. There's a lot of direction right now and attention being focused over towards Nashville, but right here just north of Memphis, in Millington and in Fraser, there's a lot of people out there who've been affected by what's going on. So share some of that information with us and maybe what people can do to help make a difference to our local neighbors.
Okay, well, there's actually hundreds of people in Millington that have been affected by the storm. It's really, a lot of people don't realize how bad it is. But there is some organizations that are trying to help people, such as the Millington Crisis Center, which is run by a bunch of ladies. They do not have internet access, so they don't really have a way to get the word out to people, but they help a lot of the people. The people can come in there and pretty much ask for anything they need, and they try to find it and help them. And they're getting a lot of clothing donations, but they really are looking for more like Kroger and Walmart cards to cover baby formula and diapers for women that have lost their WIC coupons or their food stamp stuff and they can't get it, or just for mothers who just have lost everything and are looking for, you know, furniture and stuff for their kids.
Okay, so by the Kroger cards, I could go to Kroger and get one of these gift cards for like $20 or $40.
$10, $15, $20, whatever your heart desires.
And just take this card over there along with other food and also clothing, you're saying, for what, every age type person or mainly children?
No, they collect for everybody. Memphis Loves Kids has focused mostly on children, but as we've been out there, we've had fathers that have been crying and just devastated by what has happened. So we've really kind of expanded it and tried to help as many people as we can. And so that's why we're trying to get the word out about the Crisis Center.
And how do we find the Crisis Center?
It's on Wilkinsville Road in Millington, and it's right next to the Civic Center. And it's a very small little building, but they do a lot of good in that little building. But you can also contact us through Memphis Loves Kids, and we can help you answer any questions that you need, or you can call 872-HELP. That's 872-HELP, and that's in Millington. And they will be, you know, thrilled to get any help that they could get.
Okay.
They're also looking for volunteers, for people to help them sort through all these donations that they're getting.
Yeah.
And we should point out that the Crisis Center in Millington was founded during the last flood in
87,
mm-hmm. where something very similar happened to what happened here recently. Mm-hmm. And they grew. They came out of that.
And they help throughout
That's
the year.
What they do.
They help with Christmas presents for children. They help fire victims. They help anybody who needs help.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they're the only facility like it. In Millington, I believe.
And these people have lost everything. We have driven down the road and we have seen everyone's belongings. The houses are empty. They have lost everything. Mm-hmm. Unless they had a two-story house, you can pretty much be sure they don't own anything anymore. They've
and
lost it all.
A lot of people don't understand that they've also lost their vehicles. Their vehicles were flooded as well as their houses. So when, you know, people are collecting donations and saying, well, you can drive here to get them, some of these people aren't able to get there unless they can have a friend bring mm-hmm. them. They don't have transportation now, so that's another issue.
Now, is this just a couple of people, or are we talking about dozens, hundreds? I mean, this why isn't this bigger news?
It should be bigger news. It's, I think because of Nashville, it kind of got washed out of the media a little bit.
Because they're not still flooded.
But yeah, it's not still flooded anymore, but the aftermath is there. The people's houses are empty. They don't have flood insurance. They're having to go through FEMA. They're having to find ways to just get by, without, unless they have family or friends to take them in and help them right now. They can't stay in their homes because the homes are getting moldy now, and unless they have the money to repair or insurance will repair it for them, then they don't really. We've seen people sleeping in tents outside their houses. They're doing what they can. So I just think a lot of people don't realize that Millington is only 15 minutes from Memphis. It's still Shelby County, and they need some help.
And it's not just them, it's also in Fraser, the trailer park in Fraser, which is the residents there are predominantly Latino. And they need a lot of help as well. They're staying, I think, at the Ed Rice Community Center in Bartlett.
No, it's in Fraser.
In Fraser. Mm-hmm. And they most of them have children, and they've lost just everything as well. Hmm. So
go ahead and introduce yourself as well.
I'm Ashling Mackey. I'm the vice president of Memphis Loves Kids.
And how did Memphis Loves Kids get to be involved in what's going on here?
We are an organization, and you can check out our website, www.memphislovekids.com, but we are an organization whose objective is to promote everything that's family-friendly about Memphis, everything that's great about Memphis for families, for raising children. But we also serve as a liaison between nonprofits who serve children. And we just try to do what the immediate need is, and in this case the immediate need is to help these people, because we right now we don't see anyone else doing it. We go out there, we see FEMA, we see the police, but there's no one serving the immediate need, which is these people need food, they need clothing, they need, people with children need diapers, they need formula, they need basic things to get by from day to day, and filling out a FEMA application is not going to serve that need. So that's just, there's two of us, we're a nonprofit, we don't have, we do what we can, and we're taking it day by day. So if anyone would like to contribute, Deirdre and I go out personally, and we go to their houses, we go to these neighborhoods, and we ask them, what do you need right now? And then we use our connections to find that for them.
And so we're recording this on Tuesday the 11th. And how long do you anticipate people being able to be effectively help these folks?
The Millington Crisis Center told me this morning that they foresee this being something that goes on throughout the summer.
Wow.
They said that it's that bad that they foresee people needing help all summer long.
Okay.
It's going to continue. More and more people are going to come out and ask for help as they can't get it anymore. But
and you guys are looking at setting up a Facebook page, is that right? Possibly?
We have the Memphis Loves Kids Facebook page, but the Millington Crisis Center does not have access to internet. They're a very small nonprofit, and we are going to try to set up something for them so that people have a way to contact them.
Yeah, they just, in this day and age and with the devastation and their needs, they really need a way to connect with people online, and they're mostly run by older people who don't have internet access, and that I think is a way that we can help them out to get people to their Facebook page so they know how to contact the Millington Crisis Center, where they are and what they need. Mm-hmm. I think we can set that up for them.
And if people, I'm sure most people know already, but they can go to the Civic Center and FEMA is set up there if anyone wants to go and get help or talk to FEMA.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, give us that phone number again one more time.
Oh, it
please.
Is 872-HELP. 901-872-HELP. And that's the Millington Crisis Center.
Okay, great. We'll transpose that into numbers, because you know these newer phones, they don't do the help, they don't do the letters very well. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing, and thanks so much for taking the time out to share this with us. And we hope to, you know, get that word out. Our initial, you know, look at things and where we could help was also in Nashville. Just, and I don't know if it was driving that as the media or what.
I think it is the media is bringing that out.
But it's just easy to forget that we've got, you know, folks right here in our own backyard.
With 20 minutes drive downtown. Stuff.
And just to put it out there, in case people do want to donate, the Kroger cards, Walmart cards, new packages of underwear, socks, diapers, anything, you know, that people would need other than clothing is probably less contributed, since it's something that people have to go buy.
Now, you said like new stuff. What about used types of things? You know, kids, they outgrow clothes before they wear them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we are accepting those things. We've been taking in lots and lots of that stuff, and the Crisis Center is taking as many as they can, but they're having trouble keeping up with all the donations of clothing to separate them. So they're looking for volunteers to help with that.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Well, hey, thanks again.
Okay,
thank you.
Well, interestingly enough, I was Facebook buddies with Ashling Mackey already.
That's a great name. It's a beautiful Ashling.
Well, they're actually sisters, and they're from Ireland, and so they were kind of talking about some of the differences, the cultural differences there. But so Deirdre is we're now Facebook buddies. She's got a little bit of Facebook video on there, that video on Facebook from one of the neighborhoods in there, but we're going to try and get out there this week and capture some more of this information that's out there and try and share it and try and help tell the story about what's going on here. I catch a little glimpse of things every now and then, like on the news last night, for example. I believe it was Channel 13 was talking about how some of the people that are actually in the Fraser area are illegal immigrants. So they were kind of reluctant. They wanted to stay below the radar because they don't want to risk deportation. So really, there's some interesting aspects to some of this stuff.
I read that most of the people out in Millington don't have flood insurance either, and so that's a really bad situation. And that Millington, because FEMA will, for a natural disaster, will foot the bill like 75%, and then the rest is left up to the state and to the city. And so Millington has something like, is facing $6 million or something in damages. And they can't afford it.
Yeah. Yeah. So luckily the federal government's helping out with some of that federal tax dollars. You know, they do print money, obviously. They do just make it. But ultimately, we're the ones that have to pay for it. So what the kind of the things they were talking about, it's not just their homes also, but then also their cars that were flooded as well, which really puts the damper on getting to work day in and day out to help pay for this, you know, reconstruction. So I can't imagine. One of the things they were talking about was, you know, full grown, these big beefy dudes just breaking down in tears, you know, trying to figure out what in the world they're going to be doing. So anyway, we want to focus a little bit of attention on what's going on there. So hey, let's jump in and we'll you know, get more stuff on socialexpedition.com as we find that out, as well as over on Facebook. socialexpedition.com and get that area updated as well. So hey, let's jump over to Facebook, right?
Oh my, there's so much and it changes all the time.
Yeah, and they are getting bigger and bigger, and as they keep growing, they've got so many changes going on. So right now, let's just kind of break it down into 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 things. The new plugins, privacy, location-based type stuff, and then maybe a review of your own personal profile. So hey, first off, this new plugins. You know, a couple weeks ago at the F8 conference, which is the big Facebook conference, they made some announcements about these new social plugins that they have available out there for you. So if you're running a website and you are you have any control over the content that's on there whatsoever, you at least want to take a look at this one new thing out there called the like button and add that to your site. Add that to every page of your site if possible. If it's just the home page, that's fine. A lot of people are looking at Facebook as being beginning to really get some traction, or the potential to get some traction in the whole search field. Kind of eating Google's lunch a little bit with that. And no doubt, what's going to come into play is how many people like your page, because it's a very socially oriented type of an approach versus more of an analytic type of robotic Google type of a programmatic approach. So because Facebook does take people into account, the number of people that like your stuff is obviously going to come into play there. And you want to get those buttons on your site as soon as possible so that you can start accumulating likes, you know, and likers. All right. So you definitely want to check that one out. That's very easy to create, very easy to install, whether you do it yourself or you have your webmaster do that.
So you think this is definitely going to affect SEO results, like search engine results in the future? The more people, if you don't have people liking your site, you'll lose ground on Google?
Well, let's say you won't lose ground on Google. Let's say you lose ground on Facebook, because Facebook right now, their search is terrible. It's the nasty, you know. But they've got enough people there to really turn it around and do something good with it. And so let's say they do that in 6 months. And if one of the aspects that comes into play is how many likes you have, you know, if that's one of the variables in their, you know, mile-long algorithm.
That's forward thinking there, Dave.
You know, it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, we've been wrong before, but we've also been a lot of right, too. So why not generate those likes right now and get ahead of the game instead of waiting for the breaking news, you know, this fall? So not only that, but it also, you know, it entices other people. It helps get traffic to your site, you know, even without looking at the search component. And when people see that other people are liking the information that's on your pages, it naturally causes them to take more of an interest. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay, this is not just something obscure. Other actual human beings find value in this somehow. So you really want to check it out. It's a nice feature. You know? Now, along with that, Facebook is also coming out with, you know, some of their changes have also sparked a lot of privacy concerns. And so with that, you want to check out your privacy options because unfortunately, the name of the game with these guys these days is to expose your stuff and give you the option to hide it, to make it more private, instead of just letting you pick and choose what you want to make public. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, and these guys are they're the big boys, they're the mothership, and you know, you can scream and jump up and down all you want, but I don't think it's going to change the game. You know, some people are even going as far as closing down their Facebook accounts in protest. You know, that's fine. I think that's going to happen, but I don't think enough people are going to do that to really have an impact. So many people are on Facebook now finding value in this, not just from a business standpoint, but mm-hmm. from their own personal, you know, interests, their families, their churches, all the other parts of life that come into play, the non-business stuff, that they're not going to shut their stuff down. You just need to be more careful about what you put out there, period. So with that, you want to take a look at up in the menu there to click on your account and then your privacy settings. And, you know, sit down, block out an hour. You know, really it's going to take you about half an hour, but block out an hour just in case you get distracted. You know, because, you know, distractions happen. And go through all those settings. It's an amazing, they have actually made an amazing amount of options for you. But you've got to go through it.
There's so much customization, but it's so important that you go through it because if you haven't looked at it, you are opted in to probably a lot of things that you would not want to be a part of, especially the pilot, that pilot program that they've mm-hmm. launched.
Yeah, so this pilot program that they're doing is really with these three other web properties, and that is with Docs.com, which is this Microsoft Office kind of an online type deal, and it we'll be hearing more about that, no doubt. But then Pandora, which a lot of people like to you know listen to music on, and then a site called
Yelp.
Yeah, thank you much. And so, it's kind of like, let's say on Pandora, for example, all of a sudden your friends can see all the songs that you listen to, you know, even songs that you listened to and hated, you know, just the stuff that you've listened to and you've not actually opted in, you've not chosen to let your friends see this. This is automatically they can. So, there's a process there that you kind of need to go through. And that's that new pilot program because mm-hmm. they are just still testing it out. But magically, we're all part of this test population. You know, we didn't decide, oh, yeah, hey, I want to be a beta tester on this. Sure, throw me in there. No, we're all in it by default. So then you have to opt out and go choose, select yourself out of that program.
It's just a little button that you uncheck. And there were some rumors flying around that I had heard that if you unchecked that box, there was a glitch that deleted your profile. I went and tested it the other day, and it did not delete my profile. It didn't delete any of my information. So if there was that glitch temporarily, it is fixed. I have opted out, and my profile is still intact. So do not hesitate to opt out of that program if you wish.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a good point there. Another good point, you know, because I gave this presentation over at the Social Expedition Breakfast last month, or was it this? Yeah, it was this month. And
that was May 5th.
Time flies. And so one of the things that came up with was that, hey, you know, you can choose what information you expose about yourself, but also your friends have control over that also. So when you're going through those settings, one of the things that you'll notice in there is how you can limit how much information your friends are able to expose about you, which was a surprise to a lot of people. So really, go check that out. It's an amazing amount of control that you have.
I find a lot of people not using that option. You know, underneath almost every one of your friend status updates, there's a little button that says share. But I find a lot of people not doing that. And in fact, at the bottom of your friends' profiles are little buttons that say share. And I find a lot of people are not sharing, like, other friends' status updates and things like that, or their pictures they've shared and then like resharing them. It's kind of like a retweet for Facebook.
Yeah.
And I don't see a lot of people doing that actually, but you can go in and customize which items you post that other people can re-Facebook, I guess, because it's not retweeting. You but know, it's like that.
I wouldn't hesitate to, like, do some tests. You know, I have. I'm supposed to, like, testing, you know, and I see other people testing, and I let them know, hey, your test succeeded. Don't, you know. So go play around with this stuff out there, you know, and check it out. And no doubt, you know, the way it is now, it's going to be different, you know, 6 months from now, but check that out. So number three, LBS, which is location-based services. Facebook's getting into this now. So that's that whole Foursquare, Go Wallet type thing. You're checking in. Hey,
Twitter's in it now.
You know, I'm at Burger King, and, you know, check out the Whopper, you know, whatever. So soon, any day now, actually, you are going to start seeing location-based services available on Facebook. And so while you're doing all this and you check in and, you know, on your phone, that's great, and it allows businesses to, you know, offer incentives to you for checking in, and who knows what kind of mayor-type things that you'll have, or kind of a fun component to it. But what I want to talk about is this thing called proximity marketing, which people have been talking about it for years. But what you're going to start seeing, ultimately, is you're going to be able to say, hey, I like smoothies, which I do. I do like smoothies.
Who doesn't?
You know? And so it's like, hey, if I'm near a smoothie place, I wouldn't mind my phone beeping at me going, hey, there's a smoothie place two blocks ahead.
I want my phone to do that for Starbucks.
For Starbucks. You know, we all have our preferences. And so imagine this. So if you got your phone turned on and, you know, through the GPS, it knows where you're at. And you have participating merchants saying, yes, okay, I have smoothies available here, and I have, you know, falafels and whatever, you know.
Yum.
You know. And so as a consumer, you say, yeah, okay, I wouldn't mind a little interruptive marketing. Let me know about smoothie stuff or, you know, falafels, you know. And so I think where this is going to ultimately get to, and maybe like 2 years from now, let's say as a guess, a prediction, is that these kind of smartphones, these iPhones and these Droids, they'll be free to people. As long as you opt into this proximity marketing. And so then who's going to pay for the phones are the advertisers, you know, the smoothie places out there, the Big Mac, the burger places of the world, you know, or whoever's got margaritas, let's say, you know, whatever it is that you're interested in. They're going to pay for the phones, and they're going to be free to us as long as we put up with the
pop-ups.
Yeah, the pop-ups, the dings. Well, who knows? You know, maybe it'll, you know, I don't, this would be extreme. Make your horn start honking in your car, you know. But some type of notification that, hey, this thing that you like is up ahead. You're approaching it, or you're close, and that's proximity marketing. It's gonna be a big deal. So with that, we're needing to wrap up here. Anyway, so please stay tuned to the site for more information about what's going on with the flooding, and, you know, whatever you can do help people out. You know, some people are able to stroke a check, some people are able to toss in a few bucks. Hey, that's cool. You know, some people have time to offer, you know, to help folks, and right now people are needing all of that. So please, you know, do what you can, and we'll look for taking care of our own here, so to speak. So with that, we hope to get caught back up.
And we've also got Twilight Camp coming up on the, I believe
20th.
It's the 20th.
Yeah.
On Thursday the 20th at Davis Kid at 5:30.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be a low-key, usual, no speaker, just a big conversation about social media if you can't stay the whole time. And it's free.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah, we have it over at Davis Kid Bookstore. You know, so if you wanna pick up a quiche, you know, bring your whatever $5 or whatever, and, you know, you're on your own. Go Dutch, as they say. So with that, hey, we'll get back with you next week.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Social Expedition Podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskall, available online at ericmaskall.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.